I believe I do. I thank God. Lord, I thank God for His goodness today. I thank God that there's a light up here and I can see what I'm reading to y'all. He said, let your requests be known. Last time I was over here, if you weren't here, that light wasn't on and I was trying to read the Word of God. It made it difficult because as I've gotten on up in age, just really all of a sudden my close-up vision just left me just like that. And it's my wife's fault because if she hadn't handed me a little prescription bottle one day and said, can you read this? And I looked at it and I realized I couldn't read. I might not would even know that I couldn't read up close, small print if it hadn't been for her. That's the reason I said that it's her fault. I'm going to tell you something. First time that a woman ever tried to handle the Word of God over in the Garden of Eden, God had given that man and that woman a commandment that they should not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when the tempter came and began to tempt that woman, what she did was just at the first time that a woman ever tried to handle the Word of God. She said, God has said that we shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say they couldn't touch it. He said that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. There are no women preachers in God's church. God never called a woman. God never ordained a woman. And like I said a while ago, scripturally, God said, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. You understand what the word suffer is? I don't allow it. So if there's any of them out there, they don't belong to God. God didn't call them. God didn't ordain them. So who did? They're messengers of the devil. I will say this, and I'm not bragging. All that I care about today, I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My mama didn't call me. My daddy didn't call me. My aunt, my uncles, my sister, my brother, my cousins, my friends did not call me into the ministry. We've got too many out there that are trying to preach the Word of God that have been called of either their family or themselves. I want you to understand this morning, all I care about is this Word of God and what it takes for men and women to receive the Holy Ghost and what it takes for men and women to spend eternity in the place that is prepared for those that love God and keep His commandments. I don't talk idea, I don't talk opinions, I don't talk doctrines of men, I talk the Word of God. I was very first off called of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Just like old Moses over there, when he's out in the wilderness tending a flock, and he saw a bush burning up there, and he went up there to it, and God said He was going to send him to deliver those children of Israel. You want me to tell you what he did? If you know anything about the Word of God, he began to make excuses. I am not a man of eloquent speech. Those people won't believe me. Any man that has ever been called of God, the very first thing that he's going to do is he's going to be able to begin to look, Brother Langston, and he is going to recognize that he isn't worthy. I'm going to tell you, I have gone down the road, God dealing with my heart about preaching the Word of God, tears running down my face and me saying, why me? Why me? Why me? And I'm not looking. for any glory of my own. Glory to God. I'm not looking for a parking place up close to the church. Somebody looked at me in last night and says, why are you in the back of the line back here eating? I'm not looking for a special table at our dinners. I'm not looking to be the first one in line at our dinners. Why am I at the back of the line? Where does the servant eat? At the back of the line. I was first off called of God. I was scripturally ordained by a holiness church. That church examined me for about 7 years. And after they examined me, they put me to the test, brother, and they tried me whether or not I was going to stand on the Word of God and whether I was going to preach the Word of God. After about 7 years, I was gone somewhere conducting a wedding, and the brethren of that church, by unanimous decision, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me, children of God. Anytime that you have a man set himself up as a minister, set him up as an assistant pastor, set himself up, or set himself up at the pastor of the church, I'm going to tell you what you've got. You've got a recipe for disaster. You've got a recipe for division. You got a recipe for some people, if it's a holiness church, and that's the only church there is, for people to lose out with God and be eternally lost. Hear what I'm telling you. Glory to God. All right now, I want you to understand this. When a man takes up this word of God, he better know that he's called of God. There was a man over in the Old Testament. This isn't even what I intended to talk about. There was a man over in the Old Testament, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, and they were carrying on a wagon. That wasn't even the way the Ark was supposed to be carried, Brother Langston. The commandments of God were in that Ark. They carrying it along here. They got it on a cart. They got some mules or donkeys or whatever. Oxen is what I think they had pulling it. And they hit an old rough patch. Listen to me. They hit an old rough patch. And a man named Uzzah reached up at Ark of the Covenant, began to rock back and forth. He reached out his hand without the authority of God to lay his hand on that Ark of the Covenant, and God struck him dead on the spot. Do you understand what I'm telling you? This is the Ark, Brother Greg, that carries the covenant that we live by. And for a man to be so self-willed, to impose himself, to take it up, and to be carrying it without the authority, God is on dangerous ground. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You are looking to be struck down. Oh, I didn't mean to get in. I was going off to a wedding, Sister Carolyn. While I'd gone to that wedding, by unanimous choice, not of me, my father-in-law was the pastor of the church, not by his choice, God had already called me. God had ordained me. That church had set me down in the midst of the altar at that church, and they had prayed for me. My pastor, I'm going to tell you something. The sober-minded children of God are going to recognize, Brother Eric, before a man even knows himself, that he's being called of God into the ministry. And my father-in-law somewhere, and I've never even seen the Bible, but he had it written in his Bible that God was working with me in the ministry. He hid it from me because he didn't want me to be influenced by him one way or another, but he had it written down, told me so himself. My father-in-law got up one night. I didn't know this was coming either. He said, I feel the Spirit of God working with this man in the ministry. He set me down in a chair, and the brethren and the sisters of that church came around. Some of the brethren anointed me with oil, and they prayed for me, and that was my start, brother, working. and they examined me for about 7 years, and I want you to know I faced some trials. I had a funeral down there at the church. Brother Melvin wasn't there. Brother Charles wasn't there. Only one of the older brothers that I could remember being there was Brother Buddy. And I had a bunch of heathens in the house of God. Boyd got run over down there, doped up, messed up, out in the middle of the night, walking around on the interstate, and somebody had run him plumb over. That's a horrible thing, young man. But those people came into the sanctuary of God. They came into the Holy of Holies. They came into a holiness church, and they thought they were going to tell me, here's what we're going to do. They said, we're going to play. None of the elders of the church there. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play gangster lean. I told them right quick. I didn't even have to hesitate about it. Didn't even have to. I had our good friends from Peck Funeral Home down there. And I'm going to tell you what we have garnered by our behavior. We hadn't paid them for any respect. We've garnered their respect by our behavior and how we have stood, Brother Melvin and Brother Don and the children of God down there. So it's a bunch of heathens. Come in and they tell me, we're going to play gangster lean. I said, no, you're not. Not in this church, you're not. And they, let me tell you something. They would have had to literally kill me and throw me into that grave out there with that boy, because I would have died before they played any filth like that. I didn't even know what it was, but they wasn't playing gangster anything down there in the house of God. Oh, they got mad. They stormed out, man. And let me just tell you this. Since we're on women, and women with that old Jezebel spirit wanting to teach and wanting to have authority. And if you think that spirit of Jezebel isn't alive today, you go over there to the book of Revelations and where Jesus was writing unto the church. John's wrote to him, Jesus spoke to him, and he wrote to the church, and he reminded them, that old Jezebel. What kind of spirit is it that gets a hold of a woman and she wants to preach? He said, hey, you're doing pretty good speaking to this church. He says, you're doing pretty good over there, but I've got somewhat against you. You suffer that woman Jezebel to teach my children to commit fornication. Anytime, all of the trouble that I had down there that day, it wasn't with the men. I had about four or five women on me at one time because I was not going to let them defile nor pollute the sanctuary, the house of God. Wasn't happening. Man, they got when I told them they wasn't playing gangster lean. I found out later, it's about, you know how the gangster rides. He's over, he might be driving his deuce and a quarter, Doug, and he's laid over there on the armrest, and he's drinking his 45, you know his 45. That's what they wanted to play in the house of God. Ain't happening. Man, they got mad and they stormed out, and in a little while they come back all humble. I'm just standing up there. Feeling like the world is, hey, this isn't what I thought I was going to talk. They come back in all humble and they say, well, this is the women now. They say, well, okay, we won't play it in the church. We'll just play it out at the cemetery. I said, I'm going to tell you that if you want me to have anything to do with this funeral, you'll not play it out there either. Man, they flew mad again and out they go. And here I am. And these men, I'm telling you, it takes a man called of God and ordained of God to stand against this thing. And if you're going to call yourself, you better be careful what you're doing, because it won't take long for you to be exposed. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Had no intention of talking this. Stay, every one of us. Brother Lonnie, that received the Holy Ghost, what did he say? Were set in the body as it pleased him. When we get out and want to put ourselves in the body where we want to be, we're out of the leading of God and we're walking in dangerous territory. I say this to you, you didn't put yourself into the kingdom, and you get out of the leading of God and He can take you out of it. You better be careful what you're doing. All right, they send word back in to me. God calls preachers. Nobody else calls them. Understand me. They send word back in. They say, his mama says, they're all mad at me now. Not going to have anything to do with me. They say, his mama says as soon as the grave's dug out there, she wants to go ahead with a funeral graveside. I said, she does? Yes, she does. Now, you may think that I hadn't got any charity. You think I hadn't got any love. I want you to tell you something. If you, no greater love, Brother Langston, hath any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend's sake. I'm going to tell you what I have done. I'm not bragging. This is all just an illustration for your benefit. I have laid down my life for the kingdom of God. Do you know how many times that my wife has needed me and I had to be somewhere else? Do you know how many times and how much time while other people, brethren, are out barbecuing and having a good time with their kids or their grandkids and I'm on the phone or I'm down at the funeral home or I'm conducting a funeral? Listen to me. Do you know how many times that I've been scheduled to be out on business? And they need me for a funeral service, Brother Langston, and me to lay everything down and be there to comfort that family. And let me say this about this funeral that I'm talking about. I didn't even know these people. Never met this boy. I knew his grandmother. Other than that, I didn't know him. They asked me to conduct the funeral, so I'm there. So you may be thinking, well, this man hadn't got any love about him. Let me tell you something. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And I have the love for men and women, but most of all, which is the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's number one in my life. My wife is behind, right behind him. The children come after that and the grandchildren. But let me tell you something. God is number... You trying to learn Spanish, he's numero uno. There's one for you in my life. And I mean, I don't put anybody up before him. If my wife told me, if you don't quit living holiness, I'm leaving you. I love you. I'm sorry. I hope you change your mind, but I'm living for God, and if you got to go, you go. That's the fact of the business. So, just in case, like, well, this man just doesn't have any love. And these men from down at the funeral home, do you want me to tell you how I could have destroyed all of the respect that they had for our church? All I had to do was cave in like a spineless jellyfish wimp and say, okay, y'all just don't be mad at me and y'all go ahead and do what you want to here. And those people down there at that funeral home would have rejected me. The brethren at that church would have rejected me and they never would have had any more confidence in me. They certainly would not have appointed me by unanimous vote. I want to say that. I'm not bragging. I'm just giving you the history of how I got here. I worked as the assistant pastor then. I was going off to a church. They didn't ask me if I wanted to be assistant pastor. Not one word. I go off and I commit to conduct this wedding and I find out that Brother Don had resigned that morning. They had a meeting and by unanimous vote, Brother Langston, I all of a sudden was the assistant pastor of that church. Now, you know, let me tell you, the whole time, Lord have mercy, Y'all probably going to eat with mama right after, and you're like, I wish this guy would hurry up. Well, we just have to heat it up. That's all I can tell you. The very first thing when I was ordained to the ministry, you think it was all, man, I'm way up here, I'm riding the high ball, I'm on cloud nine. No. You ever tried to teach any, is there anybody teach school here? No? Okay. You ever tried to teach anybody anything that thought they knew everything? You can't teach them a thing. You can't teach a know-it-all nothing. So the very first thing that happened to me, and my wife can tell you how I suffered, God brought me down to the depths, and He says, boy, you don't know anything without me. You are absolutely nothing. And when I got down there, then God began to build me up. So I am what I am, however I am, by the grace and the goodness of God. I worked in the capacity as the assistant pastor of that church for about 3 years until one night. When they had the vote to make me the assistant pastor, I'm getting back to the funeral. Don't think I forgot about the funeral. When they had the vote to make me the assistant pastor of that church, the brethren, and again, my mama didn't have a thing to do with it. The brethren voted that if Brother Melvin became incapacitated or at his death, I would immediately become the pastor of the Valdemosa Holiness Church. If you've never been over there, I invite you over there. We will treat you so many ways and so many good ways, Doug, and anybody else. You have got to like one of them. And we got some of the best cooks in the country. And all this time, brother, from the time that I started working, we're talking about 10 years that these brethren examined my work. I'm thinking, I can't pastor this church. If you find a man that says he can pastor a church and he's going to pastor the church, there's the wolf. Watch him. Cut him off. Get rid of him because he is danger. Because I'm going to tell you who he's serving. He's serving his own belly, and he is not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So to start with, I'm like, why me? Why me? I can't do anything. I can't work in the ministry. And the whole time, I'm watching the greatest man that I've ever seen preach the Word of God and handle the Word of God. And I'm like John the Baptist was about Jesus. I ain't even worthy to bear his shoes. Well, we wish you'd get to the Word of God. Hey, I'm on the Word of God. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can work in the ministry, but I cannot pastor this church. Brother Melvin had prayed for me before he died. I did not want, just like Brother Alf had done for him, he didn't want that anointing that was on Brother Alf, his pastor before him, to go to the grave with him. Brother Alf had prayed for Brother Melvin, laid his hands on him, that anointing from God would not go to the grave with Brother Alf. Some of them, after Brother Alf passed away, says to Brother Melvin, says, you'll never fill his shoes. Just so happened that he had a pair of Brother Alf's shoes on. He says, I don't know about that. I've got a pair of them on. Brother Melvin prayed for me, laid his hands on me, because I just exactly, you remember what old Moses did for Joshua? Did the exact same thing. I didn't want that anointing and that power that had been with Brother Melvin all those years, Sister Carolyn. I didn't want it going to the grave with him. He prayed for me, laid his hands on me, and asked God to bless me.
God bless
you. I want you to know, and I don't say this very often, I'm going to tell you, I think I got some of it. Sometimes I go past his grave going into the church, and I stop and I say, God, that anointing that was on him that he prayed, I ask that you let that anointing and that spirit and that power to be on me. And then he did an high glory. God, glory to God. And if that wasn't good enough, I went up there and I found Brother Alves Harden's grave, and I knelt down by it and I said, Lord God, would you let that anointing and that power that was upon him be upon me? I don't think I got all of it, but glory to God. But I think I got granted some of it. I still hadn't forgotten my funeral. The night, it was a Wednesday night when Brother Melvin Brown got hit by a drug addict out on I-65 and was pretty much instantly killed. I know where I was at. All this time I'm thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm down there. I've been to church Wednesday night. I'm just leaving the church on Johnson Landing Road, and I reckon God had let me. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Even called and ordained, brother, I can't preach anything unless God opens my mind and lets me do it. I leave the church, and I don't even know that he's died. I don't even know that he's been in a wreck. But I'm going down Johnson Landing Road, and all of a sudden a feeling came over me, and I thought, maybe I can or I could pastor this church. I believe, remember now, whatsoever the brethren bind on earth will be bound in heaven before the throne of God. And they had bound, not only that I was the assistant pastor of that church, Brother Langston, but at his death, I would immediately become the pastor of that church. I believe, because it was about 9 o'clock when I was leaving church, I believe the instant that he left, I believe that spirit that he carried. And that's why I was able to say, you know, maybe, Sister Adosha, maybe. Do y'all know, let me tell you something. People want to preach the Word of God. People want to be the man. You hadn't got any idea what it is. You hadn't got any idea, nor do you, nor do you, nor do you. And listen, y'all know I love y'all. Y'all know I care for y'all. Y'all know I respect y'all. But I want to tell you something. Nobody knows what Winston Worley suffered, not even his wife that lived with him. Nobody knew the burden that he carried, and nobody, unless they is one, that is a minister of the gospel and a pastor of a church, nobody knows the load. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you. Well, Lord have mercy. And then you want to be one? Lord have mercy. Sober up. Wake up. All right. That's how I got where I'm at. And that's why I do not care about men's opinions. I do not care about men's doctrines. All I care about is this Word of God. And it be the Lord will. Brother Lonnie mentioned holiness about 10 or 15 times. What is it about this way of holiness? Well, I don't care about men's doctrine, but I do care about the doctrine of God. And I do care about salvation. So, being the loving man that I am, and they're mad and they want to go ahead with graveside service, and they sent messengers in there to tell me that this mother wanted to have a graveside service. Before I change what we're doing there that day, Sister Carolyn, I walk outside, I find this mother that's lost her son. I say, is it true that you want to not have a service in the church? They're mad at me. I won't let them have their way. Why You know, the Word of God asks, brother, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Boy, they imagined a vain thing when they thought they were going to defile the house of God. And why did the heathen rage? The answer is in the question. Because they're heathens. That's why they rage and imagine a vain thing like that. Is it true that you would like to have a graveside service? Yes, it is. Okay. I was just as good as I could be. I walked back into that church. I stepped up to the podium. I said, can I have y'all's attention, please? We will not be having a service in the church. They've requested to have a graveside service. When I did that, here they could. I'm giving them just what they asked for, right? This time, because that suits me to a T. I got that bunch. They've decided they want to go outside. That's where they need to be if they couldn't behave anyway. Here they come. No, we want to have a service in the church. I had gotten down to where I had to change the service, and they would have had to kill me and throw me in the grave for us to have changed it back. I had said all I had to say. I've got these two women. This young man's laying up there in this casket. And I've got these two women. Oh, we shouldn't be arguing about this in the church. If you'd been standing 6 foot from me, you probably couldn't have heard my voice. That's how much arguing I was doing. I'm going to tell you something. When you're in charge, you don't have to get excited. You don't have to have a fit. I know a two-letter word. N-O. No. And when I get down to it, brother, be rest assured, I mean it. I said, sister, and I was good to them, Sister Carol. I said, sister, it doesn't make any difference whether we're talking right here in front of this casket or whether we go outside. The answer is still no. And then I've got one, another woman. All of this is women. Now, the men were well behaved. I got another one behind me about 20 years old. God does not have any women preachers. Don't get involved with it. This is the spirit of Satan working in your life. Have you been paying attention to that? That's the spirit of the devil. And I tell you what you can do. You tell them me and God said so. And if they don't like it, they can take it up with him. Well, they can take it up with me. They're not going to like what I got to say about it. And I got one about 20 years old behind me. And she says, well, I want you to know, I've been to seminary. Well, I don't care where you've been. So I walk out, finally, I'm talking about 10 minutes or so before service time. I go on, I'm out front. Here comes Brother Charles finally. Up until then, it's been pretty much me against the world, and I do mean the world. And Brother Charles, I've been there for an hour and a half dealing with this. And he comes up, he says, have you told these people that we don't do heathen funerals here? I said, I sure have. I'm not knocking him. I'm just telling you how the story went. And then, Brother Melvin, reinforcements come. Then I go out there and I'm in the foyer. And I got one about 17 years old. Walks up to me. Now, this is supposed to make me wilt like a daisy in Texas. You ever been to Texas? You know it gets hot out there in the summertime. I've seen times I thought I was going to die out in Texas in the summertime loading converters. This was supposed to make me wilt down. I'm going to tell you something. There's a difference in a man that is called of God and ordained of God and has the Spirit of God and has the authority of the church behind him. There's a difference. This little girl comes up, and this is supposed to make me wilt down like 115 degree weather out in El Paso, Texas, where it's all dry out there. She says, you know, you're just not being very Christian. It's funny now. I'll tell you what I told her. I was very polite to her. I never rose my voice. I'm speaking louder now than I was then. And I looked at her and I said, little sister, that doesn't mean a thing to me. She went on her way. We went on with their funeral. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care about men's doctrines. I don't care about their opinions. All I care about is the Word of God. Holiness. Why? Why? You might not know anything about holiness. I'm from over in Louisiana. Oh, I forgot a part. Let me finish this, the rest of this. They had already, those brethren over there, Sister Carolyn, had already voted upon his death that I would be the pastor of that church. Good enough, right? Wrong. About 2 weeks after Brother Melvin died, we put it before the brethren again. Do you want Tim Patrick to pastor the Valamosa Springs Holiness Church? One more time before the brethren, not by my will, listen to me. By the will of those brethren over there, they voted unanimously that I would indeed be the pastor of that church, and I've been working in that capacity ever since. The way of holiness. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you scripture for what I'm talking to you here today. Because I'm going to tell you what, you know what the Word of God says? Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. What is written here is what it is. Ideas and opinions of man doesn't make one hill of beans. You get to the judgment and give him your idea and your opinion, I'll tell you what you're going to get. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Don't know you. So when I'm talking to you, I'm talking the Word of God. I'm going to give you the Scripture. Sister Carolyn's got her Bible. She's got her pen. And I'm happy. It doesn't scare me one bit. I had a man call me. Y'all just have to heat it up double time is all I can tell you. It'll still be good. I like my leftovers cold anyway. I don't care. There are some things that are more important than sitting down at a table and eating. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that word is meat indeed, and it'll sustain you, not for a few hours till you work up an appetite again. It'll sustain you till you leave the walks of this life. So I'm going to give you the scripture. But what I'm telling you, the way of holiness, chapter 35, Isaiah 35, 8 through 10. Read the whole chapter. Holiness is not a denomination. It is not man-made. You find a denomination, you'll find something that man has cooked up, and you got a false doctrine. Holiness is God's standard for men and women to live by all over the world. So it's not a denomination, it is a standard. You with me, Sister Carolyn? I got it all wrote down, so if you need it, I got it. Ephesians 1 and 4. God. Who? God. Not mama, daddy, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, whoever. Some jackleg wannabe that never was called into the ministry to begin with, and certainly not a woman. God made choice before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God made choice that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So holiness is God's choice. Jeremiah 16 and 6. Listen to me closely. I'm talking the Word of God, and I'm giving you the Scripture to go with it. Stand ye in the ways. Stand still. Look. in the ways. There's a lot of ways out there. My daddy-in-law wrote a book, and there's like, I don't know, 150 different denominations listed in it. That's a lot of ways, isn't it? Stand ye in the ways. Get your eyes opened up. See and ask for the old path. For the old paths, where is the? I don't know how you did in school. Jonathan's girlfriend over there at Valamosa, we gave her a Bible last weekend. You were there, weren't you? This girl had a 4.34 grade point average. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm like, that's A++. Made me feel bad because I'm going to tell you, I barely got out of high school. But I am intelligent enough to understand a three-letter word that is called the. See and ask for the, because that is singular. There's only one way. See and ask for the old path, wherein is the singular good way. And walk therein, the Word of God said, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Do you know what the people said? I'll tell you. They said, we will not walk therein, because man always wants to have it over and fix his way. The Word of God says there is a way that seemeth right unto man. That's why they said, we will not walk therein, this way, God, that you chose before the foundation of the world. And while I'm at that, can I ask you something? What way can be better than the way, my good friend Dustin, than the way that God chose? You're absolutely right. Move to the head of the class, son. Impossible, isn't it? What way can be older? Go back and look at your denomination and see when it was set up, and see if it was set up before the foundation of the world. What way can be older than the way that God chose? What way can be better than the way that God chose? What way can be older than the way that God chose from the foundation of the world? This isn't my idea. This isn't my opinion. This is the Word of God. This is what I'm talking to you about. See and ask for the old path, singular, wherein is the good way, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Jeremiah, got your pen out? If you don't have this, I've got it right here. I'm talking the Word of God. Every bit of it, inspired by the Word of God. Anything that is contrary to this, a doctrine, an idea, of an opinion of man, listen to me. You got a man telling you that you can commit sin more or less every day, and that he commits sin more or less every day. Let me tell you something. You believe him that he commits sin more or less every day. But don't you follow him, because what did Jesus say about that? If the blind lead the blind, what's going to happen? Sister Adosha, they're both going to fall in the ditch. If we follow blind people, that he's going to fall in the ditch. We're going to stumble right off in there behind him. You got to have a man that have had the eyes of his understanding enlightened, Brother Greg. A man that's had his sins forgiven. A man that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why is this baptism of the Holy Ghost so important? 8th chapter of Romans, 9th verse, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you hadn't received the Holy Ghost, you don't belong to him. Well, you need to give us some scripture about this sinning more or less every day. Okay, I've got some scripture about sinning more or less every day. 1 John 3:8-9. Whosoever commits sin is of the devil. You twist that, you wring it out, you run that through the washing machine and wring it out and dry it out. My old grandma used to have one of them old washing machines, you know, had them wringers on, boy, you'd run the clothes to them. You take that, you turn it up, you do anything you want to it, and that doesn't change the fact that whosoever commits sin is of the devil. And you cannot have two fathers, period. You can't have two natural fathers, and you can't have two spiritual fathers. You cannot serve two masters. Whosoever commits sin is of the devil. Listen to me now, ninth verse. Whosoever is born of God. You remember, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how's this possible? He's thinking natural. He says, how's this possible? Can a man enter into his womb the second time and be born again? Jesus says, you must. Barely got out of high school. I didn't get out with a 4.34, but I understand what must means. You must be born again. You must be born of water, and you must be born of the Spirit. He wasn't particular about the water. Is there a pond out here? Well, there's one over where Brother Winston used to live. Man, you could be brought forth of that water. You could be down there in Buffalo Ditch where Brother Buddy was baptized, and that water would be okay. The water, he wasn't too particular because he said you must be brought forth or born of water. But he was this is Jesus talking, he says you must be born of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of adoption, the Holy Ghost, and if any man doesn't have it, he doesn't belong to God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. I'm giving you the Word of God. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. You understand the word manifest? It means to be made known, to be brought to light. How are the children of God and the children of the devil manifest? The children of the devil commit sin. The children of God don't commit sin. Ideas, opinions, doctrines of men. You must be born again. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Let me give you a little bit more while I'm giving it to you. Second chapter of the book of Acts. 10th chapter of the book of Acts. 19th chapter of the book of Acts. I double dog dare anybody to try to prove me wrong on this. I'm on the Word of God every time. Well, that receiving the Holy Ghost, that was just for the apostles. No. On the day of Pentecost, about 120 people were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all in one place. They were all with one accord. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. This is the second chapter of the book of Acts. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. Every one of those 120 people, when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, their tongue began to move under the power of God. And that Holy Ghost was testifying back that it had taken its abode in their heart. 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Old Cornelius was a good man. He was a devout man. He prayed always. He gave much alms to the poor. He was an Italian. He was a Gentile. This is when the Holy Ghost was given to the Gentiles. God's always got a man called and sent Peter to carry the Word of God over to Cornelius' house. When he got to Cornelius' house, he preached roughly about 217 words, and all of the people, this man He was a devout man. He prayed always. He gave much alms to the poor, but he's living good, but he still had to have the Holy Ghost. When Peter got over there and he preached to them, all of them that heard the word, the Holy Ghost fell on every one of them, and they what? They heard them speak with tongues. 16th chapter of Mark. Are y'all writing this down? Y'all ought to be getting this. Jesus gave some signs that would follow them that believe. I had a man call me the other night. Boy, he's all over these signs. He's a lost man. I finally had to ask him. Now, Jesus gave these signs, and he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. Let me go to these. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I skipped the third one intentionally. They shall speak with new tongues. This is a language. Brother Langston, like I said, he wants to learn Espanole. So he says, I'm ordering me some Rosetta King. He means Rosetta Stone. And he's going to learn to speak Espanole. I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to confuse a bunch of Mexican peoples what he's going to do. I'll just tell you that right now. If you want to learn a natural language, you have to learn it naturally just like he wants to. But if you're going to speak in the spiritual tongue, it is not something. You see these people on TV and they got them OTG Jakes and all of these and they got them some made up false tongue. They have taught themselves to do it. They have trained themselves to do it. God's Spirit isn't anywhere near that. Do you understand me? By the word of God, 2nd chapter of the book of Acts, 10th chapter of the books, 19th chapter of the book of Acts, when Paul got down to Ephesus and he found certain disciples down there and he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, I'm over to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. The sign, one more time. One of them is they shall speak with new tongues. I had to ask this young man the other night. I said, do any of these signs follow you? No. Oh man, he called me up. He's going to tell me I'm teaching a false doctrine. You can't prove me false when I'm on the Word of God. Do any of those signs follow you? Have they ever followed you? No. I was very charitable to him too, Sister Carolyn. I say, I didn't condemn him. I said, well then according to what Jesus says, you're an unbeliever, aren't you? That's what Jesus said about it. These signs shall follow them and believe. Ain't none of them ever followed you? Hey, I've laid hands on the sick and they've recovered. And I guarantee you, when I received the Holy Ghost, when I repented, and I want to cover this. Y'all shoot me, don't invite me back, that's okay. Boy, you take up too much time. Doesn't matter. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my tongue moved under the power of God, and that was that spirit that had taken its abode, but I got to cover this part of it too. When John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, what did he say? He said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came preaching, you remember after he was out in the wilderness and he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he came forth preaching, you remember what he was saying? Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When those people received the Holy Ghost over there on the day of Pentecost and the New Testament church was established. Do you remember after they laughed at them, they mocked them, they said they're drunk, they're all drunk on some new wine. And Peter got up and he preached the first sermon in the New Testament church. This is back to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And those people listened and they were cut. They were pricked in their heart. And they said, what must we do? And Peter said simply, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall, that is an absolute, that is a positive term, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now I want to be sure. See, I might get killed on the way home. But I want y'all to understand what repentance is. Repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have lied to my boss. I shouldn't have cheated on my wife. I shouldn't have stole that I stole. I sure am sorry. I sure would like for you to forgive me. And then go right back out and do it again. That's not repentance. Repentance is turning away from sin in your heart, meaning that you will never do it again. I just want to be sure that we had repentance down. Every time that a person receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that spirit that they have received is going to witness back to God that sent it. Where am I at here? I'm almost done. I just got a... Okay. So, I give unto them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. What is the name of the one way? It is the way that God chose. Isaiah 35, 8 and 9. And singular again, and an highway shall be there, and a, singular again, and a way, and it shall be called the, only one, the way of holiness. Is there going to be any sinners on that way, Brother Tim? Not according to the Word of God. The unclean shall not pass over it. Those are people that commit sin, the unclean, shall not pass over it. Nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed, what? The redeemed of the Lord shall be found, shall walk there. Redeemed, bought back with a price. You remember when you were a kid, you went out and collected them Coke bottles, Doug, and you traded them in. They were redeemed, weren't they? They were bought back. Those that are bought back with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ will be on this way that is called holiness. Almost done. 1 Peter 1, 5 and 16. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all. I understand what all is too. That means every bit of it. That doesn't leave any out. All manner of conversation, all manner of conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we fail to follow holiness, what will become of us? I think that's a good question, because your life here is a vapor. You're going to die. You're going somewhere for eternity. And I know of two, there's only two places. There's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell that you can bust wide open if you don't receive the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 12 and 14. What happens if we fail to follow holiness? According to the Word of God, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we're not following peace and we're not following holiness, we're not going to see the Lord. So I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be bound by a bunch of angels. They're going to cast you in. Lord have mercy. They're going to cast you into a pit of hell. And I'm going to tell you something. When you go in there, there's going to be a scream that goes up, and it is going to be so loud. And there's going to be a stink from the stench, and the horror and the screams are going to be coming up. But there's going to be one scream. Listen to me. That is going to overshadow and overwhelm all the rest of them. And as you're falling into that bottomless pit for eternity, and your torment begins, let me tell you, that loudest scream is going to be yours. Oh God, have mercy on me. everlasting too late. Fall at peace with all men, wholeness without which no man shall see the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. You commit sin more or less every day. God hath not called us to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Nothing else will do. It is holiness or it is hellfire by the word of God. All right, one last thing, and I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to let y'all go to Mama's house. What are these men? What are these men doing kissing one another? Are they queer? Homosexuality is fornication by the word of God. Those that commit fornication are going to hell. We definitely are not homosexuals. That lifestyle, those people are going down to the depths of hell unless they repent, and they can. However, David, we do believe in keeping the word of God. Romans 16:6, salute you one another with a holy kiss. 1 Corinthians 16:20, greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. If you commit sin more or less every day, I'm going to tell you something, it's an impossibility for you to greet anybody with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity, with a kiss of love, with a kiss of... Are you paying attention or pulling on your ear? Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity, agape, brotherly love, that sacrificial love that was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. If you hadn't received the Holy Ghost, you can't do that either. 5 times in the Word of God, we're commanded, greet ye one another, salute ye one another with a holy kiss or a kiss of charity. All we're doing is keeping the Word of God. Well, we like to shake hands. Well, that's okay. You find me that in the Word of God, and I'll do that. But you can't, so until then, brethren, I'm going to keep greeting you with a holy kiss. And if the world wants to mock and make fun, that suits me fine, because you want to know what the world that's mocking will do, Doug, at the judgment? They can laugh at me and mom. You know what they do? Man, they would knock me down, stomp on me, trample me down if they could to take my place, because there is nobody going to stand before that judgment that is committing sin daily that is not going to be guilty. Whosoever commits sin is of the devil. Let me say this, I love every one of you mamas. Have a great respect for you. Closest thing that we know to the love of God is the love of mother. When everybody else runs off, leaves you, and forsakes you, guess who's there? Langston. Mama. I tell you what you need to do. Let that mother know that you love her. You want to have a long life, young people? 5th commandment, but the first one with promise, honor thy father and mother, that it might be well with you and that your days may be long upon the earth. And Cherie's laying over there, 91 years old. She honored her father and mother, or she'd have never made it that far. Well, listen. Do you all realize I could stand up here for another 2 or 3 hours and talk to y'all? My mind is so full of the Word of God today and just on and on and on. But I got to stop this lest y'all drag me out and stone me to death instead of kissing me with a holy kiss. How could you be hungry? My goodness, you had a feast over there at your house this morning, so Sister Carolyn's good to go. Y'all pray for me, pray for the church over there. If you have any question at all about what I have talked here today, And I'm talking about this from the scripture. I gave you scripture for it. Come to me. Doesn't bother me one bit. Your life is a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanisheth away. There's only one way. Brethren, I'm done.